And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
I'm down to dunk.
And I'm down to dunk. I'm down to dunk. This is J-Dub, and I'm down to dunk.
I'm Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, and I'm down to dunk.
This is Lindy Waters, and I'm down to dunk.
I'm Mike Muscala, and I'm down to dunk.
This is Jay Will, and I'm down to dunk.
This is Kenneth Williams, and I'm down to dunk.
This is Lou Dort, and I'm down to dunk.
Will you say this is Lou Dort, and I'm down to Dort?
This is Lou Dort, and I'm down to Dort.
Good morning, and welcome to episode 1, 2, 8, 9 of Down to Dunk. You can find us on The Athletic and anywhere else you subscribe to your podcast. Go to theathletic.com/down2dunk and get The Athletic for $1 a month for 6 months. I am Luke, joined this morning by Andrew.
I gotta say, I'm just fired up to be here today. It's pretty cool. Pretty damn cool.
Woo! Slam throw.
And Taylor.
City's breaking down on a camel's back. They just have to go because they don't know why. So while you fill the streets, it's appealing to see. You won't get out the country because you're bad and... got any Gorillaz fans here?
Oh, man. This guy right here.
Love the Gorillaz.
This guy right
Gorillaz.
Here. Big gorilla guy.
That's the laugh.
Feel good.
That's the laugh he does.
Yeah.
Both the animal and the band.
True. You didn't specify.
Oh, yeah, you did say the gorillas.
Gorillas. The gorillas. The animals. The gorillas.
Right.
Gorillas. S. Gorillas. A Z.
Gorillas.
Yeah. I like them both.
So the Thunder lost to the Clippers last night, and...
Boo!
It was not great. It was a really close game up until...
It wasn't.
And up until it wasn't in the third quarter when the Clippers just rained threes. And it just didn't stop. And suddenly it was like a 3-point game. And then it was like, oh my gosh, they're up by 20. It's over. And I thought a really important part of that game was when the Clippers were going on a run, Shea was set to check in and Mark said, go sit back down. Which makes me wonder if Shea's playing tonight.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because it's like, hey, we're going to say, like, no, we're saving you for tomorrow.
Okay. For a game that they think maybe we can get a win.
Yeah, we're not
like, we're not getting this win.
Yeah, this one isn't happening.
Yeah.
Just this is the way the cookie crumbles this time. Mm-hmm. Let's push it to Friday. I hope that's what this is.
Yeah, that would be very fun. Mm. Kawhi was a freaking Terminator last
night. He was
so focused.
Terrifying. And Shea was like equally terrifying
he was.
During that stretch, but then it was just the role players.
Yeah.
That just started bombing threes and you're like, man. And you had Dort missing his pull-up J's, and you're like, all right.
All of them?
We're done.
What was Dort? 1 for 11?
One of 11. Is that right? Is that what
yes,
he finished with?
Yes, that is what he finished with. It was 1-3.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he was not the worst plus-minus. He was a 0. J-Dub somehow was in minus 26. Isaiah Joe, minus 30.
Yeah, we're on the court for the massive run.
Yeah.
That's not good.
They go on. That's how you get there.
We were 500 for a little bit.
Oh, it felt good.
It felt good. Just a taste.
For a Wednesday and a mm-hmm. Thursday, we were 500.
And you know what? Maybe a Friday evening.
Don't get ahead of yourself, man. You're counting your chickens before they hatch.
I always count my chicks before they hatch.
It's like the one thing they tell you not to do.
I am always disappointed in my life.
I always do that.
Don't do it.
It's called hope.
Yeah, I mean, the Clippers shot terribly in that first game, as did the Thunder from three. But they made up for last night. They shot 48% from three. They hit 18 threes. The Thunder went 13 of 39 from three, 33%. Just not good enough there for OKC. I mean, that's like just a math game, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They make threes. We miss threes. We lose by 22. It's fine. Honestly, splitting with the Clippers was probably the best outcome. Like, realistically, like, that's a good team. That's a veteran team that you're playing twice in their home arena. Like, I think the best case was like winning on the first one, so kind of surprising them a little bit, and then like losing this one. And the fact that Shea only played 27 minutes also makes you feel like, okay, like I said before, maybe they actually do play him. So, I don't
every
know.
Time I was watching the game, I'd just be watching and be like, oh yeah, Russ is on this team. I'd be like, in the same game, I'd be like, oh yeah, that's Russ.
He was pretty good last night.
He was. He still has these moments where it's like classic Russ. The athleticism is still there, you know, on like a quick drive.
Yeah.
And he takes off early for a layup and just looks so athletic and fast.
Yeah.
It's impressive still.
Yeah. He's still good. And he's been pretty good with the Clippers.
Yeah. He ended with 24 points and 7 assists last night.
Yeah. Yeah. I have no qualms with how he played last night. It's just like the guys off the bench. They got so many points off the bench. And the Thunder, you know, Jang hit his shots. That was good. Lindy hit a couple threes. But it's just like the actual production off the bench, because Isaiah Joe had that laceration and had to leave the game, and he was kind of out of it. Like, you kind of hope that he's okay. And he was, he was 0-4, had one assist, one foul. I mean, it's just tough when you just get like zero production off your bench. Like, J-Dub had a fine game. He had 16 points, 3 boards, 4 assists. Shea had 30 in 27 minutes. 10 of 15, 9 of 9 for the free throw line. Giddy was playing really well. But I think Dort's 1 of 11, and then just the lack of production off the bench was like the death knell for this team. They just couldn't keep up, you know, offensively with the Clippers.
Oh my God, the Clippers bench came in and it was just like 150% energy.
Bones was on one last night.
I know. Terrence Mann was too. Terrence Mann came in and I think had, 5 points immediately.
He was like, you threw me out of this last game. Yeah. Like, I'm going to make my imprint on this one.
Yeah.
And like, to be fair, he was making an imprint on the last game as well before he got thrown out. But he was really good. He was really good. Plus 32 for both those guys. And then Batum was awesome in that third quarter in particular. He was ridiculous. He was 4 of 6 from three. So not a lot to take away from this game. It stinks that it put the Thunder back at 11 in the Western Conference. So they're currently out of the playoff play-in scenario here. Tied with the Lakers, Pelicans, and then the Jazz are half a game back. So, and Mavs. So it's all just so jumbled up. The good news for the Thunder is that they get a chance to play one of these teams in the Lakers with a chance to pass them. So, like, this is a big one for both teams. There's certainly no LeBron. Let me check their – I don't know if they've submitted their injuries yet. But this is a huge game. I feel like I say this before every game now. But this is – a really big game tonight in LA.
Well, when the standings are the way that they are, and they're going to be like this to finish out the season, every game is going to be a big game.
Every
game is
a big one.
But this one specifically, I understand, because it's one of the teams that you would pass them in the standings.
Yeah.
Would you describe it as make or break?
No.
Not yet.
Would you describe it as this one's for all the marbles?
No. Okay. We may have a marbles game, but this is not the marbles game. Because they have this 4-game... kind of like, it's going to get easy, and they need to just take care of business against the Blazers. They need to beat Indy. They need to beat Charlotte and Detroit that back-to-back in OKC. They need to win all 4 of those. If they win all 4 of those, they'll be looking pretty good. You can't split those. Even going 3-1, which is not bad, it would be a bad loss to any of those teams. And
if they win, okay, if they beat the Lakers tonight and then they win all four of those are the next four after the Lakers game, right?
Yeah.
They would it would be like 13-2 in their last 15.
Yeah, if they may lose one of those four games. But if they beat the Lakers and then win go 3-1, they're still sitting pretty good.
Yeah.
But man, even if they lose to the Lakers tonight, like, don't freak out, because they have that four games, and if they can take care of business in those four, they'll still be in. They'll be looking pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very interested to see how they play in LA tonight. But it's an important game for both teams. Anthony Davis is listed as probable with a right foot stress injury. LeBron's out, obviously. Mobamba's out. They got their two-way guys out. But that's it. Everybody else is playing. Mm. So, and the Lakers, since the trade deadline, have played really well. They're the best defense in the league since the trade deadline.
I didn't know that. Best defense in the league since trade deadline?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's a fact.
Dang.
Yeah. So it's not going to be an easy one. But it's good that if Shea doesn't play, we kind of know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
If Shea, and they played a close one in OKC without Shea, but they need Shea to destroy this team.
This team just looks completely different. Like, no one really knows what their role is when Shea is not playing. Gets kind of scattered.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not prepared to play this game. So in net rating, since in the last 15 games, the Lakers are fourth in net rating, with the Cavs, Bucks, and Sixers ahead of them. Number one defense, and then the, where are they? 20th ranked offense. So they're kind of similar to the Thunder. Like, the Thunder are the 19th ranked offense during that stretch. And then, well, the Thunder are 15th ranked defense during that stretch. So the Thunder are a little bit more mediocre during the last 15 games. So
that's interesting, because the last 15 games have been...
But it includes their five-game losing streak for OKC. Oh, yeah. So if you, like, take that away, I mean, the Thunder have been good. But that five-game losing streak, if this all doesn't work out, you'll look back at that and be like, why?
Why?
You know,
why?
Kenrich goes out. Shea gets COVID. And we talked about it on the show the last time Jay was here. The last time Jay was, you know, not embarrassed to show his face on the podcast. Jay, like, went off about how they were going to tank the rest of the season. And obviously they're not in that position right now. But it did kind of feel like it at the time, because they lost five in a row. Who did they just beat? They had just beaten the Warriors. They had just beaten the Warriors, and Jay was still on that train. It was really funny. But I don't know. I'm very intrigued to see how they play moving forward. They're going to go all out. Like, they're going to want to win these games. They're still going to tinker. I know I've had a lot of comments and tweets about the Thunder tinkering with their lineups. I don't think that's going to stop. If you're in a playoff game, play-in game, I think that they won't tinker as much. But
and really, like, who are the only guys that you think should be, get consistent minutes off the bench every night? It's Isaiah Joe.
Yeah, who's your? We have people ask this question. I've talked about it with Mikele. I think I've probably talked about it with Alex too. But who's, like, in your 9-man rotation?
Okay, in mine, so the four guys off the bench that I would like.
Yeah. Starters plus who?
Joe Wiggins.
Joe Wiggs.
I guess Saric.
Okay.
Because it's like, what else? I'm going to go with JRE there. Maybe.
Really?
I don't know.
I would not. I would not do that.
You would not do JRE?
No.
No. I know. That's why I said Saric.
Yeah.
And then I guess who's the fourth guy? Jang or Waters?
Waters.
Yeah.
For sure. Right. I would just play three guys off the bench.
You know, Joe Saric, Waters.
In the playoffs.
Joe Wiggins, Waters.
Oh, Joe Wiggins, Waters, yeah.
Yeah. I just go small. I don't think Sharic is bringing you all that much. I would just go small and just the Thunder played their best with their small ball lineups and just like let Jay Will play limited minutes, play small, play fast, shoot threes, drive, try to throw the other team off of what they do.
Mm-hmm. I'd bring in Chet.
I'd bring in Chet off the bench.
Uh-huh.
Hey, what about Poku? So Joe Masato tweeted last night about Poku coming back.
Okay.
And so joining them maybe tonight.
That's a very dangerous this is a dangerous time to just throw Poku in there to see how this goes, you know? Because it could we're trying to make the play in now.
Mm-hmm.
And do you really want to throw Poku in when we're about to have an easy 4-game schedule coming up?
I do.
I do too.
Yeah. I don't know.
You gotta do it. Just see what happens.
I don't know if this is a fun let's see what happens time.
In the G League, he's been a stat sheet stuffer, one would say.
Yeah.
Not scoring a ton of points, but like facilitating and rebounding a ton. He'll have like lines of like 8 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 blocks, you know?
Yeah. It's a scary thing. It's just a scary.
I mean, he's going to be a big off the bench.
Yeah.
Like, would you rather him or Jeremiah play? Like Jeremiah is going to come in and just be just like a nothing. Like he's just going to be like around, right. Hanging around. You know, in high school, he's that friend that's just like hanging around, not saying anything.
Oh, fringe guy.
Sitting in the corner. He's fringe guy right now. Jeremiah's fringe guy who's just sitting over there drinking all your Dr. Peppers. You're like, are you really? What are you doing here?
Like that guy's drank 4 of my Dr. Peppers.
Come on, man.
Luke.
There's nothing worse than a guy who drinks all your Dr. Peppers.
No.
You're the guy who... You wouldn't drink other people's Dr. Peppers because you were always supplying your own Dr. Peppers.
It's true. Yeah. I thought I had a Dr. Pepper thief in college, and so I wrote an L on the bottoms of all my Dr. Peppers so I could...
So you could pick it up and see. So
I
could be
like, ha-ha! I never busted anybody, ever.
Because it turns out you were just drinking more Dr. Peppers.
I was like, man, I guess I'm just drinking 8 Dr. Peppers a day. And that was correct.
You were like just subconsciously grabbing one and drinking it, and you had no idea.
I mean, you'd come home from class, and the first thing you do is slam a Dr. Pepper.
Right.
Just
crush the can.
Chug it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but just... Burns. Oh, man.
Burns so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if Jerry's that guy, Poku's the guy who, like, busts in the door and has, like, a skirt made of fireworks or something. And just, like, either you love it or you hate it, you know? And so, like, I don't.
Oh, I love when that guy shows up with a skirt of fireworks. And he's just blasting Roman candles in the house. That guy's hilarious.
Just spinning with Roman candles, just blasting your house. You might love that guy. I don't know.
Just busting and blasting.
I'm very intrigued to see how Poku looks with this team.
I'm scared.
Yeah.
I'm glad he's better.
I'm glad he's better too.
You know?
Better he's, like health wise?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's looked pretty good with the blue. And
do you think they've been pretty patient with him? I feel like they've been giving him a long time to kind of get
back. The Thunder are patient with everybody,
yeah,
with everything, with every step of the process. So, that's a Thunder thing, to be patient. So
it's a virtue.
It is.
Patience is a virtue.
It is. Mm. It is one of the Thunder virtues for sure. Yeah, I mean, they want him to feel like he's ready. And, I think he'll play. I think he'll play when he comes back. He is, I mean, adding a 7-footer to this team that can hit a shot, make a pass, rebound is great. It's just defensively, is he ready to jump back in to something like this? I think is a question mark. And is he going to be like the Poku that was really good? Or what are you doing?
I pulled up Warriors of Virtue. You guys remember this movie?
No.
I do.
Do you remember this?
I do, yeah.
This kid falls he's bullied and he's like pushed into a sewer or something. I can't remember how he falls into this land. Well, he goes into this land and there are all these warrior kangaroos and they're called Warriors of Virtue.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a very cool movie.
I'm really
that's actually where Poku has been. He fell into the sewer.
He's been in this dark world filled with kangaroo warriors.
Mm-hmm. He's learned a lot from them.
It sounds like a place that Poku would go.
He was there.
He kind of looks like when I zoom in on their face, it kind of looks like a...
Really?
Yeah, kind of.
Not really.
No, not at all.
I think it looks like his people.
That is... We've got to move on. Okay. Anything else on... So the West standings currently... I think it's good to take a look at those. It's you're feeling a little scared this morning if you're a Thunder fan. They are 11th at 36-37, tied with New Orleans, who's at 10th, and the Lakers, who are at 9th, and the Mavericks, who are at 8th, and then half a game back of the Timberwolves, who are at 7th, and then they are a game and a half back of the Golden State Warriors, who are at 6th. So a lot of this will depend on what happens with those four teams. And this Thunder next five-game stretch is a time for them to take advantage of a kind of a easier schedule. The Lakers is not easy, but you get a chance to knock off a team that's ahead of you.
Yeah.
But it is second night of a back-to-back. Good thing is there's no travel involved.
Same arena.
Same arena, different team.
So are there different away team locker rooms?
I don't know if there are different away team locker rooms. I don't know. That's a good question. I'd be.
Is Joe out there?
Yeah.
All right. Assignment.
Let us know, Joe. Let us know.
Assignment.
Assignment.
Assignment. Okay. Let's go to Tayshaun's Factoid. Victory, Mictory.
Tayshaun's Factoid. Victory, Mictory.
What's up, everybody? I'm Tayshaun. This is my victory meetery.
What is going on?
Time to talk about Warriors of Virtue.
Warriors of Virtue there trivia.
There are five main warriors.
It was just Power Rangers. Go ahead.
It was Kangaroo Power Rangers. Yeah, but in a dark world. In a dark, foresty world. Anyway, Andrew, watch it with your kids. I think you would enjoy it because it's of like a certain era that like would be nostalgic for you.
You guys know like the creation of Power Rangers? That it was like a completely different show that they took and whatever.
Yeah. No. What is it? Whatever. I want to know.
No, I'm done talking
about it. It's basically just what he said.
But that tells me nothing. It just gives
So like they have the scenes with the teenage kids. That was shot separately from like all the battle. They created like these episodes around these battle scenes of a show that had already existed.
Yeah.
Oh, it was like an overseas show.
Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh. It was an overseas show.
And then they Americanized it and added all these characters out of the costumes.
Yes. Yeah. And then like formed storylines around what was going on.
Okay. I think I listened to a podcast about this a long time ago now that you say that.
Yep. Interesting. Now you're listening to a podcast about this right now.
All right. I just have, this is just interesting. I was looking up stat leaders and trying to find our Thunder boys. And so I just have a couple questions here. Okay. Shea is fourth in the league in points. Can you two collectively tell me who the only three players ahead of him in points per game are?
Embiid.
Mm-hmm.
Giannis.
No.
Luka.
Yes. One more.
Dame?
Yep.
Wow.
Those are the only... So, Shea is ahead of Giannis, Jason Tatum, Donovan Mitchell, Kyrie, Ja Morant, Trae Young.
You're going to name every person in the league.
I'm going to go down to 50th.
Dylan Brooks.
De'Aaron Fox.
Santi Aldama.
He is also fifth in the league in steals. Now, this is going to be way harder.
Yeah, this is way harder.
Yeah, this is like... I don't know. There's some obvious ones here, but...
DeJounte Murray?
No, he's ahead of DeJounte Murray.
He's ahead of DeJounte Murray.
DeJounte Murray's 12th.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. This is not going to be good.
I mean, you shouldn't know who these are. I just want to bring this up because when I name them, it's going to be like... It just helps put your star player in...
perspective.
Yes, exactly.
Tony Allen.
No, that's close. Tony Allen's 6th. I'll just name them. So first is OG.
Oh, you better stop OG.
You gotta stop OG. Two is Jimmy Butler. Three is Van Vliet. Four is D'Anthony Melton. And yeah, then fifth, D'Anthony our boy Shea.
Wow. That's pretty good, Shea.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And then Jalen Williams was, let's see, J-Dub is 20th in steals.
That's pretty good.
In the league.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
Per game or total?
This is per game.
Per game. Okay.
Yeah. And now for the rookies, let's see here. Jalen Williams is fourth. J-Dub is fourth in points per game for rookies. Can you name the three ahead of him? You should be able to do this.
Paolo, Mathurin.
Yeah.
And
this one kind of surprised me.
Is it Jabari?
No.
Is it Keegs?
No. Yeah, I know.
Who is it?
Jaden Ivey.
Oh, Jaden Ivey. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Durr.
Jabari has worked. I mean, he's fifth now in points per game for rookies.
Jaden Ivey's doing his thing. He's playing really well. He's getting all the shots. He's playing good basketball for sure.
Here's the thing with J-Dub, though. He is so far ahead of all the best rookies in his field goal percentage and his efficiency.
Yeah.
So he's shooting 51.8% from the field, 34.8% from three.
Yeah.
Like, Paolo's 42 and 28.
Yeah.
Mathurin's 43 and 32. Ivy's 41 and 33. Jabari Smith, 40 and 31. Keegan Murray, 44 and 40. Yeah. I mean, that 40% from Keegan Murray from three is crazy.
It's good. It's good.
I just wanted to bring that stuff up, though, to just kind of, we're on this roll here, this very positive and hopeful roll for mm-hmm. this Thunder team. And I just want to keep everyone engaged. These players are legitimately good. This is not a homer thing that we're talking about with these players.
Yeah, they're
they
good.
Are like, you know, J-Dub is a legitimate Rookie of the Year candidate. He probably won't win, but that conversation is real.
Yeah.
Shea is easily a top 10 player in the league now.
Yeah. No, there's no doubt. He will be top 10 in MVP voting. He will be all NBA first or second team. That'll happen.
Yeah.
I think he has a good chance to make first team. I think John Morant's issues make that simpler. I think Steph Curry's injuries make that simpler. I think Dame's team being absolute garbage helps with that. But I think he should probably make first team all NBA, which if you would have said that before the season,
right,
you would have been an absolute psychopath.
I think we did talk about where is Shea kind of in the NBA rankings, is he? And I think we decided on top 20 at the start.
Yeah, top 20, top 25 ish in that range. And that's where he was last year.
Yeah.
I mean, he's made a massive leap.
I know. Like, the consistency this year is insane. And you watch him against a guy like Kawhi. So you watch, whenever you watch your team play against another team and you notice their star player, there's always this feeling of like, oh my God, that player's so much better than our top player.
Yeah.
But then you watch last night and not really. I mean, like, Shea and Kawhi, kind of the same.
It was a battle, and it was just like role players were the biggest difference last night. Like, mm-hmm. they have all these vet role players that hit a ton of shots, and we had Dort clanking shots, you know.
Yeah. Kawhi pulling up from mid-range hit all of them.
Yeah.
And then Shea would come down and pull up from mid-range too and
do the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last season, Shea took 18 shots a game. This year he's taking 20. But here's where he is on every single stat. So he shot 45% from the field last year, 51% this year. 30% from three last year, 35% this year. From the free throw line, he took 7 free throws a game. Last year he's taking 10 this year. He's about the same in assists and rebounds. Steals, he was 1.3 last year, 1.7 this year. Blocks, 0.8 this year. He's 1 this year. He is 24 points last year, 31 this year.
And the defensive part of his game, I feel like, is more noticeable this year.
He's
a much better defender. Yeah, it's
much,
like
much better.
It's a lot louder this year.
He wasn't very good last year as a defender. He just wasn't very good, and it wasn't very good the year before either. He was good his first year, with the Thunder. He was good with the Clippers, but he was learning how to take on this giant offensive load the 2 years before then, and was not the same guy. And he's been able to add that back into his game. He wants to take on tough defensive assignments, and he's been really good. It's been really impressive. Yeah, Monty Williams the other night said that it's like he's like a four out there with his length and his size, and he's playing point guard. He's like, he's a really difficult player to prepare for. And I mean, there's so many crazy things about his season in particular that if you were to predict these before the season, you would look like the biggest homer or the biggest like Shea fan in the absolute world to predict that he would go from 24 to be like, well, I think he's going to average around 31.5 points per game. Mm-hmm.
Top five scoring in the league.
Yeah. I think he leads the league in scoring since the All-Star break. I mean, if you would have said any of those things,
if this would have been you on Bold Predictions,
I would have gotten dismantled.
You're crazy.
I would have gotten absolutely dismantled.
No, you would have been encouraged if it's during hot take season. Because we encourage and support hotter takes.
I don't think so.
They would say too hot.
Yeah.
No way. If you said Shea 30.
If I should said Shea 31 points per game.
If you shit Shea 30 points per game.
If I would have said that, though. If I would have said that. No, if I would have said like All-NBA, first team, All-Star game, 31 points per game, you would have been like, stop. Like, what are you doing right
and
now?
And that we win, like, you know, we're going to end up winning, like, 40 games.
Yeah, and then in March we're going to be 500. Be like,
yeah.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah, probably. I don't know. I probably would have encouraged it.
Even, like, you just think about all the things that have happened. Like, J-Dub. J-Dub will be the number two rookie in this class.
Yeah, that would have been pretty crazy.
And J.J. Redick will have multiple podcasts where he talks about how good he is. Be like, that sounds nice.
Yeah. It is kind of nice to be like, to have been bad the last couple seasons. Mm-hmm. So now we're the smart guy team.
You don't have to be the smart guy team, but the Thunder are definitely the smart guy team. You got like John Hollinger talking about Mark Degnault and his articles. You have all the J-Dub stuff that's floating around where it's like, well, if you really look at the advanced numbers, Jalen Williams might be the rookie of the year. It's like, that feels good.
I know.
So, I mean, there are a lot of NBA smart takes with this team. The way they play defense, you know, when people get into like the nuances of how they defend, it's great. When they talk about their dribble drive game, it's great. Yeah.
Vecini loves this team.
Vecini, like, hit me up. So, Sam lives in Australia. And so, like, I'll get these.
Australia!
That's my Australian accent impression.
Sorry, what were you saying?
I just wanted to talk about koalas.
Oh, koalas.
Anyways, yeah, I get like these Slack messages like in the middle of the night because he lives in Australia, but he's like, I gotta talk about this Thunder team.
He loves him.
Yeah. Go listen to that podcast because Sam is the one who gets to talk crazy about the Thunder and not me during that one. So
yeah, it's better.
Go listen to it. It's better to hear from somebody else about how good they think your team is than like somebody who's watching them.
It's also great because we rely. It's, you know, there are people out there saying like, oh, it's like they're the worst team in the league. They're black eye in the league, and it's like we were like bad for like 2 years.
Yeah, it wasn't that long.
Like it's not, and then we're just back and we're doing good now.
Yeah, Detroit gets a pass. Like Detroit's in year four, and they're like 15-50 something right now. They're really bad.
Yeah.
Houston has been on the same trajectory as the Thunder, and they are horrific. You know, there's other teams that have been doing this for a long time that don't get the same. You know, like the Thunder are missing Chet. You know, everybody's Detroit's missing Cade, so like whatever. Like the Thunder are missing Chet.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
we wouldn't. And if Shea was out, the Thunder would not have gotten that pass like Detroit do with Cade.
No. It would be
Shea needs to get out of there when he's healthy. Trade him.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, I mean, the Thunder are missing big pieces as well during the stretch that they played good basketball. And, you know, the Thunder still are putting it together. That's like, that's why the Thunder's rebuild has been really good. You know, it's been really fast. I mean, there's, you look historically at rebuilds, like this is one that will be talked about a lot because of how quick they pulled it off.
And how often is it that like your rookie class plus your star is the thing that pushes you so quickly?
Yeah, your rookie that was the 12th pick.
Yeah.
Well, and Jay Will too.
Yeah, Jay Will's been good too. Yeah.
Do you think they expected it to move this fast, or it's like lucky accident? Or just like all everything
good,
going their
good
way.
Good decision making, and then it's paying off.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that it's, they found the right guys. They have the right coach, and things have come together way quicker. And a lot of it is Shea's leap, and then it's J-Dub being as productive as he is. And Giddey's leap as well. Like, I don't want to discount Giddey's leap in all of this. But it's those three, and then you got enough from your role players. But I mean, Josh, I think I mentioned this Wednesday, but like Josh has been really, really good this year in comparison. I mean, I brought up Shea's numbers, but he went from 12 points to 16 points this year. He went from 41% from the field to 48%. I mean,
yeah, that is wild. 48%.
Yeah. I mean, if you, and again, like bold predictions before the season, if you would have said like he's going to be 16-8-6 shooting 48% from the field,
yeah,
you'd be like, great, like sign me up for that. Like, that's what he's doing.
And like, what's funny is if that's a player that's 26 or 27,
yeah,
you're like, oh, I need that player on my team.
Yeah, I know. Oh, we need that guy.
Man, how do we get one of those guys?
Is he 21?
He's 20.
He's not even 21.
No, not even 21.
Can't even have a beer.
Can't even have a
beer. He does have them, though, I bet. I bet he has them.
It's not allowed.
You have no proof.
I just bet.
He's not allowed.
I just got a feeling.
He'll turn 21 before the start of next season.
He is allowed. He can go get a Foster's, though. That's the only beer he can get.
Do you know what the drinking age in Australia is?
18.
How do you know that? You're making that up.
Because it's like 18 everywhere else except here.
Well, it's 20. Well, it's 25 there.
Yeah. Josh kind of gets forgotten in some of this. And like, he's been very good.
He feels he's
the drinking
that player
age is 18 in Australia.
Oh. Boom!
Oh,
eat my shorts.
What is all?
Oh, it's,
okay.
It's what I would start my Australian accent with.
Oh man. Okay. I guess that was Tayshaun's.
Tayshaun's back to it bigger and better.
Hey, it's time for L-Man's advice, and I do not have traditional advice today, but I wanted to reach out to you guys and encourage you to do something that would be really cool, and that is, I wanted just to share this with you guys about, I don't know, it's almost exactly 6 months ago, I got a new niece.
Yay.
My brother had a baby. And
brother's wife had a baby.
My brother's wife had a baby. My brother was part of that. And sorry, that's not what this is about.
What part?
So when my niece was born, after some tests and some complications, they found out that she was born with cystic fibrosis, which was a really big surprise to my family and her family, because they didn't know that either of them, that was even a possibility.
Sure.
And so they've been kind of dealing with that. And so what they are doing right now is there's a walkathon that's coming up in May.
Yep.
And they are currently signing up like their team and raising some money for the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation, which is looking to find a cure for cystic fibrosis. And so what we're going to do, I've talked to Andrew, and we're going to put, we're going to link their fundraiser, put it out on Twitter, put it out on our Instagram.
Yep.
And if anyone out there would, anyone that listens would donate any amount of money, it would be great. We would so appreciate it. If you do not feel like you have to. But if you felt like giving $1, $2, $3,
you should do it.
Anything helps. It would be so great. What I've done is I've created on there. You can do it when you donate to, and like in the link, there'll be a thing that like, you can start your own little team within our team, mm-hmm. or you can donate to a team. If you click donate to a team, I've set up one that is specifically Down to Dunk.
Oh, cool.
And so okay. you'll see Down to Dunk, donate to that team.
Great.
And I think it would be great. That would be what I would tell you guys to do. If you do not want to, you do not have to, but it would mean a lot. We're just trying to do our part and support. My niece's name is Sloane, mm-hmm. and our team name is the Rolling Sloanes.
Awesome.
Great.
And if you guys want to come out and support and walk and do the walkathon, you are more than welcome to join our team. What we're also like selling t-shirts for it, which raise money for the team as well. I'll also have us send out that link on Down to Dunk, and there's a little video that goes along with it that we'll have us send out too. So yep. I just want to tell you guys that. If you guys want to help, it would be great. My advice for you today is help out. If not us, someone.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, we'll definitely be supporting here. DTD. I'll be at the walkathon. I'll be there.
That's right. Come on. Come on out and hang out. It is in May, and we'll send the information that we'll send out for. We'll say when the event is. It is in May.
Yeah. Donate. Do it. You should do it.
That's good advice.
It's good advice, L-Man. All right, we will be right back after this quick break.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some, But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/theathletic.
And we're back after that quick break.
And yeah, we're back!
Time for some Twitter questions.
Twitter questions. You got questions and you ask them on Twitter. Now we answer them for you. This is Twitter questions. Now let's get down to it.
That's great.
Hey, our first Twitter question comes from at 69 and then some.
Oh my, that is my ultimate favorite that we've ever read on here. I'll never forget the first
and
time I read that.
And they want to know, would you rather have Jalen Green or J-Dub?
J-Dub.
This is just a brag time for our guys, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
I mean, the truth is, if you're a team that doesn't have a number one option, you will definitely lean toward Jalen Green because he's definitely a more aggressive offensive player, and he's like a guy that could end up being a number one option on the team. However, I don't think any team should choose Jalen Green. I think literally every team in the league should choose J-Dub because I think he's a legitimate building block. He's a two-way player. He's a wing that can play 1 through 5. I mean, he's played small ball 5 for this team. He can shoot, pass, dribble. Plus, great, awesome guy. Not saying that Jalen Green's not a great, awesome guy. Don't know him at all. But I can tell you, J-Dub, great, awesome guy. I think J-Dub's going to be an all-star. I think he has a chance to be like a real star player in this league. And so does Jalen Green. No offense to this guy, but J-Dub is an easier player to fit into every single team in the NBA.
Because he's better.
Because he's a better basketball player. He's a better basketball player. Jalen Green isn't terrible. He's just been in a terrible environment.
Yeah, but he sucks compared to J-Dub, though.
But he's a terrible player compared to Jalen Williams.
Guys, let's go on to our next Twitter question. It comes from at CKHoopsTT, who wants to know, how many years did getting Shai in the PG trade save us from still being in full rebuild mode? Or maybe we would have been in the lottery in 2020 and jumped up and take maybe Baller Edwards. I want to know your thoughts.
I mean, even if they had one of those guys, I don't think that they're at 500 right now because neither of those guys are as good as Shai.
That's the thing. Like, look at who those guys are and then compare them to who Shai is right now.
Yeah.
The Paul George trade continues to be, like, the best thing ever.
Yeah. I mean, right now, what they got back in that Paul George trade that's conveyed is Shai and J-Dub and Trey Mann. It's like, whoa. Okay.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, they honestly may have gotten their all-star duo from that trade.
Yeah,
already, and they could have better picks moving forward too. Like, are we confident the Clippers are going to be a great team in 2 years? Like, I don't know. I mean, maybe they are, but with Paul George's injury this year,
well, how old are Paul George and Kawhi in 2 years? I don't know how old they are right now.
Like 34.
Simple addition would give me the answer.
But the injuries have piled up for them. And, you know, Paul has another injury that's going to keep him out.
That injury was so weird when it happened.
It was weird.
Yeah, Dort, it was like awesome. Good job, like, Dort. Just like standing like with their legs crossing, and it was just like
he landed weird, and then Dort was just kind of right there. It was a weird play. I feel bad for Paul. PG's legitimately a great guy and a hilarious quote, like a cringy, hilarious quote that we need in this NBA. You know, I'm a little sad because I remember before the playoffs, here in OKC for his first one, he was like, "Oh, y'all haven't met Playoff P yet."
Playoff P.
And then he goes on to get dismantled by Joe Ingles.
Dude, so during that time, the Lebatard show made an entire skit about Playoff P.
Yeah.
And how bad Playoff P was. And it was like a male enhancement advertisement.
See, this is why we don't need Paul George out of the NBA. He's willing to just say some wild stuff at times.
Yeah.
And it's very unassuming. And he's very good. He's very good. There's a reason why the Thunder got so much in the trade for him. But yeah. What was the question again?
How many better years, Shea or Paul George?
How many years did getting Shea in the PG trade save us from still being in full rebuild?
2 years, I would say.
I was going to go with 4. Just because you get these rookies and it takes a long time.
It's basically been 2 years. Like, this is year 3 and they're making their arrival into the NBA. But yeah, it could be up to 4, honestly, because I think the average rebuild takes 5 to 6 years to actually get up off the ground.
And you have to cycle through a couple players before you find the guys that...
I mean, for real. I mean, you think about Milwaukee. Milwaukee had to... I mean, they had Jabari Parker and Brandon Jennings and these eras where you thought that things had happened and then they continue to crash and burn and then they finally get Giannis. And the players that you thought would be around him, I mean, that you thought at the time it was going to be Giannis and Jabari Parker, and that during Giannis's rookie season, Jabari will probably be the best player and then maybe Giannis can be their second best player. And it's no, you have a generational player that's on your team that was drafted at 15 and Jabari Parker is gone.
And after having 2 years of our rebuild, I don't think we had 6 years within us, as a fan base.
No, that's true.
I think it would have been really, really bad.
It would have been tough. Some of it would have been, if they did get LaMelo or Anthony Edwards, I don't think it would have been in 6 years total. I think it could have been it could have been 4, though, and then you get somebody really good in this draft, and then you have, if things just kind of go as they went. You also just don't know how does the lottery go the next year? Do they land at 1 or 2? Do they get Evan Mobley? And every little decision changes everything. Mm-hmm. So they could have been starting with LaMelo and Evan Mobley, and then if you add J-Dub to that, that's probably a pretty good team.
Yeah.
So there are other paths that could have been taken to get them to a better place than they are now, but I don't think that you would trade the place they're in today for any other rebuilding situation for sure. I mean, to start to be basically 3 years into your rebuild and have Shea, Giddy, J-Dub, Chet. It's is there another young team that you would want to trade places with right now? Maybe that's another Twitter question. Twitter question from Matt Andrew K. Schlecht. Is there another rebuilding team or any other young team, including teams like Memphis, that you would want to trade places with?
I don't think, definitely not Memphis.
I know Memphis would have been the answer probably preseason.
Right.
And even 2 months ago.
Yeah.
And now it's, the jaw stuff still, I don't want
to. That just would hurt so bad as a fan to be like.
If that was Shea.
Yeah, right.
Doing those things.
I'd be so scared.
And then, Kelly Eco did a piece with T. Morant that went up yesterday, the day before. And you read it and you're like, I don't know if I feel better. Mm-hmm. about Ja after reading that. That situation, Triple J is very good. Desmond Bain is really good. Santi Aldama's had a good season. But still, I think
that team is really good. Talent-wise, it's amazing young team.
They're a contender. But, I don't trust them in the playoffs now.
Yeah.
There's no way. Also, Dylan Brooks is just way too involved in everything.
He's really been trying to seize this moment with no jaw, hasn't he?
Dude.
He has been all over. There would be months where I wouldn't really have to see Dylan Brooks, except when he's, being a jerk or something.
What other role player, Dylan Brooks, is, close to a household name?
I know. What's up with that? He's like, this is my time. I'm going to be in every single post-game interview.
I'm going to push a cameraman. I'm gonna get involved here.
Yeah, I'm going to be in every clip.
Yeah. He's like,
he's done a good job of pushing himself into that position, though.
He's
an enterprising man.
Oh, my gosh. He would drive me absolutely insane if he was on the Thunder.
Yeah, that's my least favorite player in the league right now.
Yeah, I think, yeah, he's bottom five. Likeable player in the league.
Yeah.
If not the least likable. Him or Draymond.
What's redeeming about Dylan Brooks? He makes shots.
Does he?
He has been. There was a game a couple games ago. He hit a big three that kind of sealed the game.
Yeah. I don't know, man. He's, let's see, what are his percentages? He's 39% from the field. He's like at Poku numbers in efficiency.
Yeah.
He's just a very demonstrative Poku. Can you imagine if Poku was this demonstrative?
No way.
He would never be.
Sometimes I wish he was.
Sometimes I wish he was.
You do not wish.
Sometimes, well, if but Poku, not very often.
Also, if Poku acted like Dylan Brooks, Poku would not be on the Thunder.
Right, I know. Can you imagine Poku pushing a cameraman and then just staring at him, and then there's a lawsuit against Poku for pushing
Is there
someone?
Any player on the Thunder that you would imagine
No, there's no one.
That's the other thing about this team, and I mentioned this on Vecini's pod, is like character is like a really big thing to the franchise, and like it really does matter. And they've shown that through the players that they bring in.
Mm-hmm.
Hey guys, let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from @CL12_. Who wants to know what's the French fry shape tier list? Tots count.
All right, we've done this before.
I'm not huge on tots.
I like the occasional tot. I'd like, you know what I like? I'm about to go get right now. The Chick-fil-A disc.
Yeah. Those are
like
good.
The Brahms potato has disc.
I don't like those.
I like them.
Brahms has them too. They're pretty good.
I don't like
them. Here's the best. Number one. Wow. Number one, curly.
Arby's?
Arby's curly. Curly.
That's your favorite shape?
Yeah.
They are good.
Curly. Plus, they're fun to look at.
And they are fun to look at.
And you get a long curly. It's really cool.
Mm-hmm. Fun to look at.
Two, they're aesthetically pleasing. Aesthetically pleasing.
That is what Luke does. He goes, "Ooh, I'm about to have some fun, baby."
He just rolls them out. He just like lets them just come out of the little.
Yeah, you organize them in length and
he
curliness.
Just stares.
A number two, a close second is waffle.
Yeah, well, the Chick-fil-A waffle fry is hard to beat.
Yeah.
And you have to say Chick-fil-A waffle specifically.
Are there other waffle fries from a restaurant?
I know that Carl's Jr. has waffle fries, but I've never gotten them.
Mm.
Can't speak to their goodness or badness.
Yeah, I have not.
Then
not
number three, your classic fry.
I would put Freddy's fries right there.
What
the
are they?
Shoestring fries?
Yeah, I love
shoestring. I like shoestring. I like shoestring. Okay, put them over that.
What do you like?
Shoestring.
Shoestring.
I like shoestring.
You got to grab a lot of them at once.
I like sushi.
Yeah, like you can grab a lot.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, yeah, grab a lot of shoestrings. And then number four, regular fry.
Mm-hmm. What's regular fry?
Just like a McDonald's, like fries, McDonald's fries, like fries, Wendy's fries. We're talking about
what about
shape.
Crinkle? What about crinkle
cut? I'm thinking Brahms right now.
I was gonna say Brahms,
crinkle cut,
Brahms,
yeah.
Crinkle
okay.
cut before the regular.
Yeah. Okay, I'll do it.
I would put the Brahms crinkle cut before the shoestrings.
Brahms crinkle cut. Okay, I'll give you that
before the shoestrings. Sometimes you just wonder, like, what are these little shoestrings?
What are these shoestrings?
You wonder
are we
that?
Sure they're potatoes? I don't know. It could be anything.
What are these little shoestrings? I will give you crinkle cut, and then regular fries five, and then beyond that, there's like more potato-y fries, like the Chick-fil-A discs.
The discs, the tots.
The tots.
Yeah.
The potato wedges.
Yeah, yeah.
Like KFC potato wedges.
Get those
wedges.
Out of my
face.
Yeah,
I can never do a wedge.
Out of my face. It's too much potato.
Yeah.
See, the
only time I'm...
Shoestring too little potato... Wedge too much. Potato.
Shoestring potato, though. The
shoestring potato.
The thing about the shoestring potato is you grab a bunch and then you take a big bite, and the crunch to mush is really good in there.
Yeah.
You know,
that's the thing with the wedge, though, is like it could be mush.
It's too much mush.
Well, that's also the bad thing about that's what makes waffle get into second, because sometimes you get the end that's all mush.
Yeah,
yeah, right, you don't want the end.
Oh,
yeah,
no,
terrible.
That one I cover in sauce. Like you wouldn't believe how much sauce is on the end.
Yeah, don't want to throw it to my dog.
It is. Yeah, that one, when Teddy's like at my feet begging, he's getting...
Flip it to the dog.
Yeah, because he loves it.
Yeah.
You know what Brahms always does well with their crinkle cut fries? Salt. They always
They're really
salt well
salted. Yeah. There's a lot of places for the salt to get in the wedges.
Did right, that's true.
Somebody let us know. Did Brahms do something in the last 3 years?
Something happened with Brahms.
Because
for sure.
they have like upped their game in a significant way.
Yeah. I totally
and
agree.
And you can't tell me that's not true. You can't tell me that's not true.
I was just talking to a coworker about it yesterday, actually. Wow.
They have stepped up their game. It is, I mean, it's competing out there. It's real.
It is. I would say it's a top. It is a top three fast food place for me now.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
I go often and get Reese's mixes with extra Reese's. It's so good.
And you know what? No problem. And you know what? It's not hurting the wallet.
No.
It's not hurting the bank account.
Or the weight.
Or the weight, because it's healthy.
And like shout out to Andy's Frozen Custard. It used to be a sponsor of this podcast back in the day, but you go get that at Andy's and it's costing you like $12.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, that's not happening.
I'm not doing that.
No way.
Every time we'll go there every once in a while, and every time we leave, I'm just like shocked. Like, yeah, it's $18 for your two ice creams. It's like,
yeah, that's
but
the last.
But it's very good.
It is very good.
You've kind of poo-pooed them.
The price is insane.
But the food is good. The price is too much.
The price is insane. Okay. Yeah.
Too much overhead, Andy's.
I guess.
Get that price down.
I guess. Yeah.
You know who else has good crinkle cut? Cane's.
Yeah.
Cane's.
Yeah, they do.
Cane's is good.
Cane's
I also
is solid every time.
I feel like it's because you get the fries and the bread. I like it all, but it's like that's a lot of
carbs.
A lot of carbs.
You know
what
that reminds me of? I've been seeing these Instagram videos of people putting pastas in like a bread, like a sandwich, like a pasta sandwich. I'm like, ugh, God, that makes me want to throw up.
I've not seen that.
What is that?
I just keep seeing it. I don't know. I keep seeing people put like Alfredo pasta in a toasted baguette and then eating that. Like, that's way too much.
Carb. I don't know. I mean, like when you eat like a dish like that, they usually have bread with it.
That's true. But there's something about eating a carb within a carb.
Cause like you'll dip. You'll dip into the sauce.
I'll dip, but mentally it feels different. You know.
So like the baguette is like the ice cream cone, and the pasta is the ice cream.
Exactly.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't even like ice cream cones.
A slice of lasagna in between two pieces of bread. Lasagna sandwich.
No, I wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't do that either. Have you ever done that?
No.
Okay, I was gonna say.
Luke
got really scared for me.
Like, what?
We were gonna have lasagna sandwiches every Tuesday.
I would know if you had done that, I feel like. Okay, I have one more question. Are you miffed? Are you peeved?
Miffed and peeved.
I'm miffed. I have a honking zit on the side of my face. I'm sure you guys have seen it. It's been there. It's been there for about 5 days.
It's no longer a zit anymore. It's just a wound.
Yeah, it is an open wound.
Yeah.
And it's been a problem for me. For five days, I've done everything. Kate, wife, help me out. You have all the magic stuff in here for zits. You know, tried everything. It's just one that's like, I don't know. I just can't get rid of it.
No.
I know. I'm just so miffed. Every time I talk to someone, I kind of, you know, when you have something on your face and someone like is trying to look at your eyes, but then you catch them like really quickly looking. Like, yeah. I keep seeing that. I'm like, dang it. I got to get this zit off my face.
Zits as adults is, it's not cool.
They're always just massive too.
Yeah.
Like, you don't get, like, a little zit anymore. It's, like, a problem. It's, like, there's really something wrong in your pore.
Yeah. The last one I had was, I got it, and it surfaced that morning, and then I immediately get a text from Brian Keating at Channel 5 saying, hey, can you come on TV tomorrow? I'm like,
at least they put makeup on you, though.
No.
What?
You gotta ask for the makeup.
No.
Yeah.
Really? Could you see it on the TV?
Not really, which was good.
Which was good.
But still, like, my anxiety about having a zit on my face going on TV was like, come on.
I had one. This was like the day before, like, I had to be in court and in trial, in front of a judge all day. Mm-hmm. And I had one on the tip of my nose. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, just there. Couldn't do anything.
No.
I am preemptively miffed. I really don't want our government to cancel TikTok. Cancel TikTok.
That could have gone so many directions.
Cancel student debt. I don't think it's good for people.
No, I don't want them to cancel TikTok. And if they do, they are taking away... Right now, the social media that I like the most and spend the most time on.
Wow.
I'll have so much more free time, and I don't want it.
My life would be so much more productive.
It would be I'd have time to spend with family and friends, and I don't want that.
Yeah. Right. You don't want the pressure.
God, it's so good right now. I'm just afraid.
Thunder play the Lakers tonight in LA. It's a big one. It's a big one. We'll have another podcast for you on Monday. I'm a little scared about tonight, but we'll talk to you guys again on Monday.
I'm ready for no more 9:30 games.
Yeah.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.